Blog Talk Radio.
This is Bishop Hurricane Johnson. This Sunday, two things are going to happen. I want to speak into your life, and I want to pray for everybody that's ready to go to the next level.
Meet Bishop Hurricane Johnson this Sunday at the Courtyard Marriott Hotel, 2440 West Cypress Creek Road, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33309. That's 2440 West Cypress Creek Road, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33309, 11 a.m.
There is nothing too hard for God. He can turn your situation around. This Sunday, get ready. Be there.
Sunday morning, 11 a.m., meet Bishop Hurricane Johnson in a powerful service that's promising to change your life. Bring a friend. Share a miracle. Be there.
All right, God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Bishop Hurricane Johnson. I am so grateful and honored to be able to come into your homes, your cars, places of employment, wherever you are, to let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is moving by His Spirit, and He's doing some great things in the lives of so many people. And the special thing about it is you can be a part of what God is doing. We have a very exciting broadcast for you because there are some special announcements that we want to make you aware of. And, you know, I'm just happy, you know, full but happy. You know, full but excited. So, you know, I'm just grateful for all that God has done. You know, and you keep hearing me saying full, you know, because I just wanted to give a shout out to some great people. And, you know, Bishop normally don't eat before I go on the radio, so I just want to get his testimony. You know, Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, sometimes you have to taste some good food. You know, I'm just grateful. And I told the guy, I said, listen, you know what? This is the best sub I've had in a long time. And, you know, I just wanted to give a shout-out to some friends, some new friends, and, you know, just encourage those of you that are in the area to just stop by and see them. It's called Boulevard Subs, and they're right here on Oakland Park Boulevard. And, you know, I'm just grateful for the fact of having them as friends of ours. And you just stop by at 1100 East Oakland Park Boulevard, and I just order a nice sub. I got the Italian sub, y'all. I'm sorry, I'm talking about food, right? I'm supposed to be talking about the gospel. But anyway, I got the Italian sub, and just give them a call if you want to order and let them cater, et cetera. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Their number is 954-561-1934. That's 954-561-1934. So give them a sub. Let them know that Bishop Hurricane Johnson recommended you. So thank you, Boulevard Subs. All right, listen, I am excited about what's going on this week, and I want to invite all of you to join us for the next 25 minutes. Now, I want to welcome all of our Periscope viewers. Thank you for joining us. Send out those share and messages to invite others. And then our EXY listeners, God bless all of you, amen, that are joining in to us. God bless you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. And we want to welcome all of you that are part of the broadcast. Well, let me give you another announcement. We had a powerful time on last night. I did some powerful teaching, amen, on Acts 2 and 38. Acts 2 and 17, and then we ended up on the 38th verse. The Bible says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The first one was says, on the day of, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place on one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And they began to speak with other tongues, you know, as the Spirit of God gave utterance, and they were all filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Then we started telling you what benefits comes with the Holy Ghost. Just don't go to church, you know. You just don't, you know, go to church and testify about stuff you don't use, you don't do no more. You know, Holy Ghost is, it's more than me not smoking or me not drinking. I've never smoked a day in my life, never drank, never got high. I've never been drunk a day in my life. So, you know, it's more to it having the Holy Ghost than not drinking or smoking or getting high or going to parties. I didn't go to parties because I didn't know how to dance. And I wasn't going to sit up there and, you know, try to be cool. You know, because Kool and the Gang had made a song, Get Up Off of That Wall and Dance and all that. So they was making songs for people that stood on the wall. So I couldn't go to no parties, and I didn't go hang out at the script joints and et cetera. You know, didn't know how to play cards and all of that, because I'd probably lose all the time. You know, but I did what I did. And so my salvation is based upon more than what I stopped doing. You know, you say, well, I'm saved because I don't drink no more. It's people never drink and don't believe in God. Well, I'm saved because I don't smoke. It's people that don't smoke and don't believe in God. It's people that don't drink coffee and don't believe in God. So what you don't do, don't let that be the paramount fact of you being saved. There are benefits to being saved. There is benefits. Anybody can be a witness out there. There are benefits to being saved. And one of the benefits is when you begin to accept Jesus Christ into your life, then he gives you gifts. Glory to God. I go off on that. I'm supposed to be talking about forgiving and forgiveness and unforgiveness. So let me not go, but I just want to say there are benefits to being a Christian, okay? And it's more to it than just going around telling people you know Christ. You know, you show some example. You show some example, and God has endowed us with special gifts. Amen. One of the main gifts of being, I guess I can work it in there. One of the main gifts of being saved is the, amen, taking on the spirit of reconciliation. Having the spirit of reconciliation. I really don't have time to fall out with anybody at this point. I don't have time to fall out with anyone. But before I go into my lesson, let me give you an announcement concerning Thursday night. This Thursday night, my father will be hosting, amen, Bishop Victor T. Curry, all the way from Miami, Florida. He will be hosting Bishop Curry here at the Gospel Arena, 613 Northwest 3rd Avenue. He'll be hosting him here, and we're grateful for Bishop Curry and the congregation coming down, the New Birth congregation coming down. People are already making plans to attend. Now, I want to say this to everyone. You need to get there early. Now, the doors will be open at 6:30. You need to be there early to get a good. I would just come early and, you know, have your sandwich and stuff in the car, but just, you know, get your seat together. You know, get your seat together. Go put man up in there. But tell your daughter to go sit in your seat. You know, all the seats are free. So that means that you have choice seat. You have choice seating. All you have to do is just come. The only obligation you have right now is just to be there on time. If you get there about 7:30, 8 o'clock, you may not have a seat. You may have to go all the way to the back or standing. You know, so you want to get there. Well, Pastor, I don't get off until 7:30. Then I just come straight from work. You know, I just come. Now, I want to say this, that people are excited about this great service. They're excited about, amen, visiting with my father, and then they're excited about Bishop coming down to be with Reverend Dr. T.G. Thompson for the first time. And, you know, these are just, you know, great moments, amen, here that we want to establish for the public to come out and enjoy with us as we just celebrate a legacy. We just celebrate a legacy. We could have lost him three times already, you know, 16 years ago. We could have lost him when he had an aneurysm. And God, you know, allowed, you know, it takes him to tell his testimony, you know, and if he called in, then it takes him to tell his testimony. The last operation he had, you know, they did another one, and then he had to go through open heart. And, you know, the way he tell it is that they had to kill him and then bring him back. In other words, they had to stop the heart, and I didn't know that. They had to stop his heart. In other words, he told me when I was sitting and talking with him, I said, well, how you feel? He said, well, after they killed me, then I had to come back, you know. So this is someone that was resurrected, you know. So I don't know no other way to put it, saints. I know no other way to put it. But anyway, testimony stands. And he told God, you get the glory, I get my testimony. Well, Bishop Curry is coming down to minister for us on this Thursday night, so we're looking forward to a great time. Want everyone to make it your plans and must to be there, okay? So that's at 613 Northwest 3rd Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Zip code is 33309. We'll tell you some more about that at the end of the broadcast. Well, I want to talk about forgiveness. I want to talk about holding unforgiveness and then releasing the unforgiveness out of your heart. I think one of the main things that have caused people, you know, really to be crippled emotionally and physically. See, unforgiveness, you know, causes you to be crippled physically. whether you know it or not. Many sicknesses have come because of things that people hold in their heart. You'd be surprised of the people that get sick from just stress alone. And do you know that unforgiveness brings on stress? Do you know that unforgiveness brings on all kind of ailments and sickness and illness that comes upon your body? Because your spirit is the captain. Your spirit is the director. And when your spirit is not right, then your body can't function right. You ever seen a person that's worried? They get sick. You ever seen a person that's nervous? You know, they liable to do anything. You don't play with nervous people. Are you listening to me? That's why I don't scare people, because you don't know what a nervous people will do, or a scary person will do. They will knock you out. That's why I don't try to scare people anymore. I'm too old for that. I've become too wise for that. I don't sneak up on nobody, because they will turn around and knock you out. See, our spirit controls. It is the captain. So when you have, you know, unforgiveness, don't y'all laugh at me now on Periscope. Don't y'all laugh at me. Don't y'all laugh at me in the radio land. I just want to say that I do not mess with scary people. I don't mess with scary people. Are we on Blog Talk? Amen. I don't mess with scary people. And let me say this to our Blog Talk listeners. I don't mess with scary people. And all of you that want to join us on Blog Talk, you can reach us by area code 347-989-0113. So if you know somebody, amen, that can join us by way of Blog Talk, we're broadcasting all over the world now, so listen to me very carefully. Anything that I say is being heard all over the world and three parts, on WXY and then on Blog Talk, and you can call that number and it'll patch you right into the station at area code 347-989-0113, and then you can view me live by just simply going to Periscope. All right, so listen to me very carefully. I said that unforgiveness breeds sickness. Yes, you'd be surprised at the people that have developed sicknesses that you didn't think would come from something as simple as unforgiveness. But unforgiveness is something that torments one's spirit. It torments your spirit. I mean, when someone does something to you, now I'm not talking about whether you're right or wrong. See, that has nothing to do with anything. It has none. Unforgiveness has nothing to do with whether you're right or wrong and the incident that, occurred. You could be right, but if you have unforgiveness in your heart, then you're wrong. You could be the culprit. You could be wrong. But if you have unforgiveness in your heart, then you're still wrong, because what God is trying to do is to let us understand that we must release. We must forgive. According to Matthew's, the 6th chapter in the 14th verse, he says you need to forgive people their trespasses. Now, what is trespass? A trespass is a violation against you, a violation of your boundary, or, you know, the violation of your territory, or the violation of your property. Let me put it this way. A trespass is the offense or violation against your spirit, against your emotions. That means that someone has hurt you or did something to harm you. And I'm talking about your feelings now. So at this point, Jesus is telling us, listen, although they may be wrong, you must forgive them so that your Heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. Because not only have they done wrong, but you have done wrong in your life. You know what made me understand the spirit of forgiveness? You know, because sometimes you're brought up in church, or you're brought up in such ways where, you know, you start prejudging people. And you say, oh, I would never do that. And that's why people look down on people on the street. That's why we look down on prostitutes. That's why, you know, I hear women say, I would never do that right there. There's a lot of them that say the same identical thing. The same identical thing. You got guys on the street. You got people living on the street. You got people that have done things. And people that say, I will never do that. Well, you know, life has taught us you never know what people are going to do. You know, but life have a way of teaching you, not the judge. Life have a way of teaching you how to forgive. Because a lot of things that you said you wouldn't do, I can get a witness out there, right? A lot of things that you said you wouldn't do, you end up doing. Now, I know everybody's not going to admit that, because people want people to look on them with, you know, an eye of confidence and a brow of confidence, saying that, you know, that person is good and that person is good. Sometimes people call certain people good, and then the people heart, they know, man, I'm not as good as people think. You know, I've had some bad moments. I've done some bad things, and if they only knew, they wouldn't call me good. You know, so, you know, it's good not to judge. And in judgment, sometimes we pass, you know, whether we forgive people or not. Jesus said these words, forgive people their trespasses, or forgive others their trespasses, that your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. But in Mark, the 11th chapter and the 26th verse, he says, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses. Can I say that part? Now, one was a very kind gesture. One was a recommendation to you to forgive. But the other one was very strict. He says, now, I've admonished you on forgiveness. I told you to forgive. But if you don't forgive people their trespass, it doesn't matter what they did. And I got kind of sticky with this about 2 weeks ago. It doesn't matter what they did, you still must forgive them. We're not talking about based upon what they do. You must forgive. And this is why we need salvation in our life, because some of the stuff that I may mention to you to forgive, you may not want to forgive according to your intellect or your mind. I mean, your logic says, no, I'm not going to forgive them of that. What you mean? See, it's easy to forgive somebody if they go and take $20 and say, you know what, you know, I took it. And you say, you know what, $20, I ain't going to even worry about it. But it's different if someone go and take $10,000. You know, it's easy to forgive somebody if they said something negative to you, but it's a little different if somebody come up and just curse you out or slap you in your face. You know, so I know that many of us may have a problem with the word forgiveness because we want to put boundaries on the word forgiveness. We forgive to so much. And then after that person reached that boundary, then that's it. We're not going to forgive them anymore. Now, that's why we need salvation. Do I need it more? Yes, I need it more. Let me be the first to admit I need more salvation. I need to be the first to admit I need more salvation. And this is what Jesus said. If you don't forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespass. Now, I think Jesus had a right to say that because on the cross, after they had beat him, after they had whipped him, after they had blindfolded him and slapped him and said, now prophesy to us and tell us who slapped you. And then they took a crown of thorns and embedded it into his head. And I mean, they whipped him with 39 lashes and pulled chunks of skin out of his back. I mean, they did him wrong. And then they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And then when he said, I thirst, they gave him vinegar. And you know, you don't drink vinegar if you're thirsty, because that, according to the Roman custom, that was to bring up more agony. They gave him vinegar and gall to make them agonize even more, and he refused it. But even through all of that, Jesus says these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't talking about they didn't know how to put nails in, because they knew how to do that. He wasn't talking about they didn't know how to commit the offense, because some people know what they're doing when they do you wrong. That's not what he means. And that's not what he was suggesting when he said they know not what they do. He wasn't saying that they didn't know how to put a crown of thorns on his head, or they didn't know how to beat him, because they were masters at that. They were executioners. They knew how to whoop people. They knew how to blindfold people and slap them. They knew how to degrade people and to make mockery of them. That's what they did. But when he said they know not what they do, he was talking about more than the deed that they had done. But they don't know what ramifications will come upon their life by doing what they did. They don't know how bad they have treated you, Father. They don't know how bad they have severed the relationship between what you're trying to accomplish. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Some people do things, they don't know the severity of it. And it takes somebody with a forgiving heart to keep relationship going. So it's impossible for us to say that we have Jesus Christ, but yet every other week we're severing relationships. I mean, we just don't care. We would sever it, and we'll go home and go to bed, and we'll go to sleep, and we would enjoy our lives not knowing that the person that done you wrong is not the corporate in this case, because the Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. So listen to me very carefully. The Lord is challenging you. You to be the one, and not the stuff. Don't hide behind, I'm going to be the bigger one to call. It ain't about no bigger one. You have to be the most humbled one to call, not the bigger one. Somebody, I'm going to be the bigger one and say I'm sorry. No. You have to be the humbled one to say you're sorry. You have to be the humble one to make the phone call. You have to be the humble one to reach out to the person that may reject you. You have to be the humble one. Because if you want to send a praise up to God, that's what you're going to have to do. So let me just give you a few steps on forgiving. Forgiving. I don't have that much time. All right. Forgiveness. This is, well, how do I forgive, Pastor? I mean, tell me, how do I do it? Because now I got to fight against logic and then emotions. So you need to tell me how to do this right here. Because, number one, my logic tell me that they meant what they did and they knew what they were doing. It is not right. I mean, you got a whole lot of logic, so I understand that. So now you want me to disregard my logic. You know, I'm smart. I know how to count. I know how to reason. You know, and that's why we went to school, so we can reason things out. But now you want me to put all of my reasoning aside. And then, on top of that, let alone the reasoning, you want me to put my emotions aside. You want me to forget about the fact that what they did not only violated my logic, but it hurt me to my heart. Listen to me very carefully. This is what I want you to do. I want you to consider the following factors. Number one, forgiveness is a spiritual decision to release the person. I need you to make a spiritual decision to release them, not a mental, a spiritual decision. Are y'all listening to me? I need you to make a spirit. This has something to do with your spirit at this point. When your emotions are so, you know, erratic and you can't, that's why David say, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. What do you think that meant when he said, let me do it right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want for what? Okay, I shall not want. I'm going to tell you what. All right, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And then he said, he restoreth my soul. David, how you get from green pastures to needing your soul restored? Because some stuff had happened. And now God restored my soul, but after he restored my soul, he led me in a path of righteousness. What was the path of righteousness? Not just to read my Bible, not just to go to church, not just to stop going to the club or stop involving myself in trickery. The path of righteousness was to be the one to say, I'm sorry, although you're the one that did me wrong. That's the path of righteousness. So I made a spiritual decision to release the person. And then, forgiving is cancel someone from the consequences of falling short. I'm going to cancel you from the consequences. Now, these are the consequences. Since you fell short in our relationship, since you fell short in what I expected of you, you know, normally I will hold you responsible and I will put you on blast. But now I'm going to cancel that. I'm canceling that out. I'm not holding no consequences over your head. If somebody asks me about you, I'm going to give you the highest praise I can give you. Saints of God, that's where we need to get to. All right, let me give you another one. Am I doing all right so far? How much time I got, y'all? Because it looks like I'm about to, you know, when it get good, then I start. I got 5 minutes. All right, so I'm going to cancel the consequences of you falling short towards me. All right? Thank you so much. Then I am dismissing, I am going to dismiss my demand upon your life of what you owe me. I'm going to dismiss my demand upon your life of what you owe me. I think you owe me an apology, but I'm going to dismiss that part. I think you owe me a smile. I think you don't owe me that mean look you're giving me, especially when I'm willing to let things go and let bygones be bygones. But you know what? Whether you look mean or not, I'm going to dismiss. I'm going to dismiss all obligation. And then I'm going to release, watch this one right here. I'm going to release my right to be right. I'm going to release my right to be right. I am going to release my right to be right. In other words, I'm not going to sit up here and try to prove to you that you were wrong when I was right. I'm going to release that right now. I don't have time to be arguing with no one. I don't have time to be proving a point to no one. Some things you just need to let God do. You, Some things you let God do. You don't need to step in. I told you on yesterday, when you step in and handle a situation, when I step in and handle a situation, God say you have just now revoked your reward. And whatever reward I had for you, because I was going to give you double. I was setting you up for a blessing, but you came out, and then you started evoking your own rights and start going and handling things your own way, so you just revoked your reward. And watch this right here. I'm going to release the right and obligation to hear from you, I'm sorry. At this point, when you forgive somebody, it don't matter whether they say, I'm sorry. Y'all ever heard people say, all I want is them to say, I'm sorry? Listen, when you forgive somebody, they don't have to say I'm sorry anymore. You release them of that obligation to say I'm sorry. What you do when you see them, you love on them. What you do when you see them, you embrace them. What you do when you see them, you say I'm sorry. What you mean I'm sorry? I didn't do nothing wrong. I'm sorry for allowing it to go this far, even though I was right. I'm sorry for not embracing you before I did. That's what I'm sorry for. I'm sorry for knowing to do good and didn't do it. I'm sorry for not allowing God to use me to keep our relationship going. Am I helping anybody? Every time it get good, man, I had some more points I had to give y'all. Listen to me very carefully. In order to walk as a Christian, there are obligations that we must walk in. And number one, we must walk in the spirit of forgiveness. So I say to every husband, every wife, every son, every daughter, every mother, every father, every sister, every brother, every cousin, every relative, every person, amen, 2 minutes, that have an associate, I want you to release them right now. Can I pray right now, Evangelist Nikki? Can I pray very quickly? Amen. I want you to release them. I want you to release them. Just release them. There's no need of you going through the rest of the day. You need to pick up your phone, call them, and say, listen, I'm sorry. We had a breakdown. I'm sorry. You need to call them, especially if you did something wrong. If they did something wrong, call them and say, listen, I don't want no more breakdowns. If you did something wrong, be man enough or woman enough. Be man of God or woman of God enough. Be the person that God has made you to say, you know what, I'm sorry. Because Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I know some may say, well, they deserve that because somebody need to tell them something, Pastor. Somebody need to get them straight. You not the person. You are not the person. Are you listening to me? You are not the one. You're supposed to reconcile. Father, touch every listener. Touch every hearer of my voice in Jesus' name. Give us the courage to forgive. And God, teach us how to love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening today. Remember, we will be at the Gospel Arena Church, amen, on Thursday night. Remember to broadcast tomorrow at 1:30 to 2 o'clock, and thank you for listening. My name is Bishop Hurricane Johnson. Join me every day here on WXY at 1:30 to 2 o'clock. I look forward to seeing many of you all Sunday, all right? This is Hurricane Johnson. Leave you with these words. Hope need not die because help is on the way.